Good morning and welcome to all, particularly our guests who join us here today at the Church of the Madeleine for the offering of this Mass on the solemnity of the most holy body and blood of Christ, also known as Corpus Christi Sunday. Some unfortunate news to share with you and asking prayers on behalf of some of our parish families. The father of Liz Poulter and Teresa Black, Eddie Knowles, died early yesterday morning in Bryan, Texas after an illness. So his funeral arrangements are pending to be taking place there, and we keep him in our prayers as well as for Liz and Teresa and of their families. And also another Madeleine parishioner, Janet Gardner, her daughter Christina Pace died this last week as well. And there'll be a funeral service for her this coming Friday at the chapel at Calvary Cemetery. So we pray for the repose of the souls of the dead, and we pray also for those who mourn. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May their souls and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. On this Corpus Christi Sunday, to make this distinct from other Sunday liturgies, we have some special things, among them the singing of that prayer known as the sequence that we heard proclaimed before the gospel reading. And also after communion, before the dismissal, we will have a brief time of adoration of the Blessed Sacrament placed upon the altar. Some parishes will have a procession with the Blessed Sacrament. We don't have the layout to do that quite effectively. So as an alternative, we will have this time of a brief adoration before the dismissal. Tomorrow, as a nation, we will remember those who have died in the service of our country to defend our freedom, and you're invited to make part of your Memorial Day observance of coming to Mass, either at 8:30 at St. Bernard's with Bishop Slattery or at 10 o'clock here at the Madeleine. Next Sunday, we will have a brunch for all of our new parishioners, whether you've registered yet or not new, or maybe you've come back. You're welcome to come to this event. It'll be after this Mass in the rectory. It's a two-story house adjacent to the church. If you need directions, talk to me after this Mass. Please see in our bulletin on our website for many events that are coming up this week and this month, this coming month, the First Friday Adoration, Theology Uncorked, and also our activities for our children and youth. Please also note to set on your calendars Wednesday, June the 29th, the ordination and installation of our bishop-elect, David Kondrila. That will take place at 2 p.m. at the Reynolds Center of the University of Tulsa. It's going to be the biggest Catholic extravaganza we've seen here in decades. So try to be there if you can. We are told that people are coming literally by the bus full out of Texas. So we can't let these Texans show us up. So we need to show up ourselves there at the Reynolds Center. As you may have heard, Bishop Kondrila on the side is a carpenter, so he's making his own crozier or bishop's staff. He has a brother who is a jeweler, and they're going to take their deceased mother's wedding ring and make it into his bishop's ring. And some people, when they heard that, asked, well, what other crafts and trades are in the Kondrila family? Perhaps there's a butcher and a baker and a candlestick maker as well. But we will see. We will see. So we pray for him as he's preparing to be ordained and installed as our next bishop. When I was a small child, occasionally I would go with Mom, along with my sister, who's 2 years younger than I. We would go to the Sears store in Northwest Oklahoma City. And at that time and place, at the main entrance into Sears, there was a candy counter with all sorts of things, with chocolate and cookies and all sorts of refined sugar. And needless to say, if they had taken some forensic tests of the fingerprints and nose prints on the windows of the display, probably some of them could have been traced back to me and my sister. Now, Mom had a deal with us when we went into Sears. She said, if the two of you are good, here's the deal. You can get a treat on the way out, but if you're good. And the treat was almost always a small bag of chocolate-covered peanut clusters, our favorite. Now, needless to say, that gave us a strong incentive to behave. as we were in Sears. And more often than not, on the way out the door, we did receive a small bag of chocolate-covered peanut clusters as a prize for good behavior. Being rewarded for good behavior is an effective means to teach, to motivate, and to correct. The same can be said for punishment for bad behavior as well. And it's not limited to chocolate-covered peanut clusters in the hands of small children. Think about the incentive to make good grades in school. Think about the incentive to do well at your job, to hopefully to receive some kind of a performance bonus or something like that. And other incentives to do well, to behave. And when we do so, we expect a reward. We expect a treat, a benefit, a prize. Now, two Sundays ago, we celebrated as a church the Feast of Pentecost, the gift of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples following the resurrection and ascension of Jesus. It marks the beginning of the church and also marks liturgically the end of the Easter season. And so that for the next two Sundays as the church, we touch on, in the church's liturgy, we emphasize some basics of our Catholic faith. Last Sunday, it was the Trinity, emphasizing that God exists as a community of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that we, through the Son, are invited into this community of divine life and divine love that is the Trinity. And today, on the celebration of Corpus Christi, we emphasize the core Catholic belief or doctrine in the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. Present in the Eucharist, not as sign, not as symbol, but as truth. We are to see and to believe this real presence as we were told in the Second Vatican Council in the 1960s, that it is the source and summit of our Catholic faith. All that we do as a church flows from the Eucharist as a source of grace, and all that we do, particularly in our acts of charity and in our worship, flows back to it. One thing that we should not see the Eucharist as, however, and are receiving it at Mass and Holy Communion, is to see it as some type of reward for good behavior. It's a point that's emphasized by Pope Francis. He says, the Eucharist is not a prize for the perfect, but a powerful medicine and nourishment for the weak. The Eucharist is the source and summit of our Catholic faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. God the Son, for our salvation, allows Himself to be broken upon the cross. God the Son, for our salvation, for our nourishment, in the pilgrimage of faith, allows Himself to be broken and poured out, shared in the Eucharist, not as a prize, not as a reward, but as our nourishment and our medicine. From the cross and from the altar, the mercy of God is offered to us. This sacrifice, this sacred food, this medicine invites us to repent, meaning acknowledging our sin, not out of hopeless despair, but in hope of forgiveness. It invites us to the ongoing conversion, the change of mind, heart, and behavior, not to conform to the values of this world, but to the values of the gospel, to conform to the life of Christ offered to us in the Eucharist. For the gift of Christ in the Eucharist is not a prize for the perfect, but the medicine for the weak. We hear in today's gospel Jesus feeding this vast multitude, this 5,000 plus. It's an action that prefigures the gift of the Eucharist, the nourishment for those who are hungry and in that deserted place, the healing for the sick. In the Eucharist, Jesus is present to us always. And for this reason, as St. Paul tells us, that at the Last Supper, Jesus takes the bread and wine to the Passover meal and says, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so we do. Each and every time we gather for the offering of the Mass, no matter where that gathering, that offering may take place. This gift of mercy is given to us not as a reward, not out of any merit on our own, but out of God's love for us. It is that love that calls us, challenges us to be touched by mercy. And I think that's one of the most difficult things for us to accept. On one hand, you have people who see no need for mercy, no need for repentance, no need for conversion. But on the other hand, you have those who are challenged to let themselves be loved. They know that they're sinners. They know they need mercy. They know they need conversion. But the challenge to let themselves be loved, to see themselves as lovable and forgivable. Not on any merit of ours, but because God loves us. The desires not the death of the sinner, but that they be converted and live. To allow ourselves to be touched by mercy by receiving Christ in the Eucharist, and to receive, do so in a state of grace, meaning free from serious sin, to be touched by mercy, to be transformed into the body of Christ, His church. And in turn, as the church with Christ in the Eucharist is the source of grace and mercy, we are to allow ourselves to be broken, to be given in sacrifice in our acts of charity, our acts of mercy, our acts of right worship, our acts of forgiveness, our acts of witnessing to the dignity of every person. Not out of hope of a deserved reward, but out of the love that God has for us, that God shares with us in the gift of the Eucharist. For Christ in the Eucharist is our source and our summit of grace. He is our powerful nourishment. He is our medicine in our weakness, in our illness of our souls. The nourishment that we need, the medicine that we desire, as we seek to live out our Catholic faith.